Welcome one and all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars, episode 442, and we begin 2026's album reviews. This is Ed, this is Jeremy, this is myself, discussing albums that have come out in January of 2026 to help you guys keep track of albums that jump out at us.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
Quick reminder that in addition to hosting Signals from Mars, I've also worked behind the scenes helping other podcasters. With over 16 years of experience and more than 1,200 episodes that I've produced or appeared on, I offer podcasting editing, ghost hosting interviews, and repurposing content into viral clips, show notes, transcripts, and social media posts. If you've got a podcast and need help making it sound professional, or if you want to turn your episodes into content that actually grows your audience, I can help. Check out the podcasting services page over at signalsfrommars.com. Just go all the way to the right on the menu. You'll see work with me, hover over that, and you'll see podcast services and sponsorship. Let me help you make your podcast stand out. Speaking of sponsorships, Signals from Mars is sponsored by listeners like you and also by great sponsors. If you've got a brand, product, or service that connects with rock and metal fans, I'd love to work with you. Our audience isn't casual. They're collectors, concert goers, and gear buyers who support the bands and brands they love. Sponsorship packages start at just $150 a month and include on-air mentions, social media plugs, and even product features. If you want to connect with a loyal rock and metal audience, head on over to the sponsorship page on signalsfrommars.com to learn more. Before jumping any further into the episode, I do want to thank my patrons for their support. Thank you! Sean Richmond, Tony Espin, Anthony Mackey, Ed Ferguson, who's featured on this episode, Johan Edstrom, Metal Dan, Chris Vaglio, Gabriel Ruiz, Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, Brad Dahl, Mike Jones, Jeremy Weltman, who is also featured on this episode, Steve Hoker, and Steven Saylor. Thank you guys once again for all of your support. It's greatly appreciated. And especially since all of these people have been part of this Patreon group for a long time. Steven Saylor joined all the way back in 2019. There was a bunch that joined in 2020. Then a bunch in 2021. A few in 2022. And the latest is Sean Richmond all the way back in January of 2023. So actually, Steven Saylor is going to be 5 years that he's been supporting me here on Patreon. So I do want to thank him. I want to thank everyone for their support. You can join the Patreon group for as little as $2 a month. You get all this inside stuff. You get questions, you get polls, you get videos, and you get to appear on shows with me. We're going to be doing the 1980 episode shortly. It shall be fun, and it will have plenty of discussions about what albums should have been higher, what albums are not there, so on and so forth. So send me your 10 favorite albums that came out in 1980. And if you can only send me three, if you can only send me five, if you can only send me one, I'll work with whatever you send me. There's a point system assigned to, well, there are points that are assigned to each one of your albums, and if you send it to me and say something to the effect of, in no particular order, whatever appears first is going to be your number one. So in no particular order, that's your number one, going all the way down to 10. So if you do want to submit your list, Signals from Mars at signalsfrommars.com. Go to signalsfrommars.com to find out all the great stuff surrounding the podcast, other episodes, other audio episodes, video version of this episode and others, merch, so on and so forth. Joining Patreon. Again, I do want to thank you guys for listening to the episode. If you watch the video version, great as well. Please subscribe, like the episode, tell your friends about us and all that great stuff. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to listen or watch this episode. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. Joining me is Jeremy.
Good evening.
In the UK. And Ed. See, that's easy. I can just point down and get that right. Ed in Kentucky. So awesome to have the band back together here. We have Edgar Winterson in the chat. We are talking January 2025 albums. So as usual, there's good music coming out all the time. Can't say that every week had good music, but still music has come out all the same. Hey, Sean Richmond, how are you, sir? All right. So, in your opinion, what do you guys think? Have we started the year out good? Are there albums here that you guys will be listening to throughout the year?
Well, there's definitely at least one that I'm going to be listening to through the rest of the year. I think it's pretty typical of any year. It's a slow start in some weeks, and in other weeks it's really good for me.
Yeah. You, Ed?
Yes. I have several things already that I'll listen to all year long.
Okay.
So yeah, first couple of weeks I wasn't so sure, but we ended this month or last month really well.
Awesome. So yeah, Sean, we started a little late because we were discussing things off air. So anyway. So let's get things started here. January 2nd, we had releases from Chris Emmert and Aurelia Ann Cohen. They both released their separate Magnolia sessions. This is kind of a bluegrass western type of feel with the music. I actually thought that Ed might be able to pontificate upon this, but seems I don't know if this has caught his attention or not. We'll see. There was another album by Allende and Ulver, who released Neverland. And depending on what list you look at, that was either released in December or was released in January. So I don't know if maybe in December the digital copy was released and maybe the physical came out in January. Whenever I notice that kind of stuff, I usually list the physical copy as a reissue. But anyway, there were those full lengths. There was an EP from Gravity Chasm and a reissue of the Queen of the Damned movie soundtrack. Jeremy, you pointed out that there was really nothing that stood out for you this first week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is probably, you know, the worst week for me of the whole year, I would think, because there really wasn't anything that stood out to me at all. So I didn't really want to even listen to anything, to be honest. It's a very, you know, it's a very short list. And, you know, I'm going to talk about other things in other weeks. So, yeah, absolutely zilch.
Okay. Ed, anything that stood out to you for this week?
No, this was a nothing week. That's for me all the way up through the 10th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
January 2nd. I'm looking at it.
It's kind of to be expected because it's so close to the holidays, I think.
Yeah, and that's basically what happens both in December and January. A week before the holidays and a week after is pretty slow.
That's right.
We've already got our good spammers in the chat. Let's make you popular. All right. So, for me, the only thing that I'm going to say stands out to me is the reissue, the Queen of the Damned soundtrack, which I've had that on CD for years. This was just released on vinyl for the first time. And if you don't know what this is about, this was a soundtrack that Jonathan Davis of Korn put together, wrote everything. And then it turned out that lawyers got involved and basically said, hey, wait a second, you're on, I forget what label they were on at the time, and he wasn't allowed to put it out. So what he did was he got other artists to record his songs for the soundtrack and then had a few others add their own music. So, Ed Ferguson here is throwing out names of albums. I don't know if these are real or not. Zoo with Ferrum Sidarium. Okay. And Gumshoes. Happy New Year, best of album, January 1st. Okay. We'll take your word for it. All right. So anyway, yeah. So that's all I'm going to say about January 2nd. January 9th, still kind of a light week here. We had, although there are some big name artists here, we had the self-titled album by Alter Bridge. We had albums by Orchard Thorn. Uihaya, I don't know how you pronounce that. They're a Mongolian band. Lionheart, Redriver. Bullet, Beyond the Black, Wretched. Those are all full lengths. And then there's an EP from Nano War of Steel, Terror Garden, and Deadwood. There's a live album from Iotun as well. Jeremy, anything that sparked your interest here?
Yeah, actually quite a lot. I listened to four and recommend all four. So Kickstarter by Bullet. Really enjoyed that one. Sort of an AC/DC except kind of bastard child from Sweden. It's hard actually not to imagine Udo Dirkschneider hasn't joined AC/DC on this album, because that's the kind of thing you got on the vocal. The riffing is fairly there, similar as well. So, you know, that aside, it's actually all really good fun as well. And it's a good listen. I really enjoyed it. But I couldn't help, you know, thinking that it was those sources on it. I listened to the Alter Bridge album. I'm a bit like you, Victor. I kind of like I listen to Alter Bridge and I'm hoping for more every time, and they don't quite deliver it. I really like the first song on it, Silent Divide. I thought it was a sort of very good sort of riff-heavy stomper to start off the album. And I was really hoping the rest of the album would be in that kind of vein, but it didn't really shine through, you know, through the whole album. It was good enough to recommend someone to go away and have a listen to, and maybe it's something that I'll listen to again and probably get a little bit more from. But I know that, you know, Miles Kennedy can be a little bit sort of nasally, a bit grating, and you know, that can be a bit of a problem. The Terror Garden EP is a really good recommendation. This is a really good, superb New York band, very like Sanhedrin, the band that I've sort of mentioned a few times. They're sort of kind of chunkier. They're a bit heavier. They have a real good sort of mix of power and energy, really sort of kind of what you really want Guns N' Roses to sound like, but okay. They don't sort of deliver that. It's kind of on the sort of Welcome to the Jungle sort of feel when on the initially on this. So really, really sort of cool driving choruses on it. There's only six songs on this because it's an EP and there's only about 22 minutes of music. And it's not the band's only output because obviously it's called Terror Garden by Terror Garden, but you can go back and listen to some of the older stuff as well. I really recommend the first track, Supermodel Virus. It's probably one of the best songs I've heard in over a year. So not just this year, obviously we're right at the beginning of the year, but in you know, a good 12 months, it's amazing. It's so loose and it's so raw and it's just something that you can get your teeth into. Really love that song. Really like the song Hollow as well on that. So really good EP by Terror Garden. Really recommend it. Might well try and get, you know, some sort of hard copy of that if I can. And then the final one, I don't think you mentioned this, is by a band called Venger. Actually, some people might suggest it's Venger, but I read an article about them and it's called Venger. They're actually, it's a new project featuring Doug Scarrett of Saxon. So you know all about him. It's a very melodic offering. He's got a collaborator on there called James Fogarty, who comes from a sort of proggier, darker background. So it's a nice mix of the two. And it focuses on sort of fantasy, sci-fi themes, that sort of stuff. It was it had a really good tempo to it. Again, it's an album that, you know, you want to listen to probably again and again. So that was good. I was tempted. I might sort of suggest my album of the week might be Bullet. It might be Venger, but I'm going to go for the Terror Garden EP.
Okay. Like I just mentioned to in the chat, I mentioned it to Edgar because he's naming albums that I don't have. When I put our Excel list together, it is based on what PR people send me or labels. And then from there, I still check out other websites and pull stuff that kind of sticks out to me, depending on the label that they're on, depending on who the artist is. I honestly don't have time to add everything. I know Metal Storm, for example, has an expansive list week after week. Yeah. I'd never be able to post all that stuff.
And thank God for the filter that helps me whittle that down.
Yeah, and even with that, I go to a few different places. I go to like four different sites. This week I worked on updating our Excel sheet, and there's releases going up to April is pretty solid. May has a few things. June has a few things. Even July has something, and there's... I forget when the master plan comes out, but there's something that's really late in the year. So there's stuff already that's coming out late this year. So Edgar can't reveal his sources. Well, you can't reveal to us who you are, Edgar. So I get that. Ed, what are some of the things that you listen to?
Nothing this week again either.
Okay.
Now, I do remember kind of, like I said, I still put everything in there and listen to whatever you've got on the spreadsheet. I remember that Alter Bridge sounding very well. It's produced really well.
Yes.
Remind me, am I correct about that? It's got a really good production. So yeah. Even though that's not my kind of band, I really enjoyed listening to that band for couple of songs anyway, listening to Miles playing his guitar tone, I like a lot. And then I did listen to the folk albums that you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
The one was more interesting than the other, and you probably know which one. I can't remember the names of it. I think it had a female singer.
Okay, so that would be
had a lot of different eclectic types of sounds in all of her songs. You know, living in Kentucky, I'm surrounded by tons of music like that.
Yeah.
So I do listen to bluegrass and folk and old time country and old blues artists and old jazz. But I'm 98% of the time a metalhead, and I kind of have to be in the mood to listen to some of those other genres. So I listened to that stuff, and it was good, but I didn't really spend a lot of time with it. And I can't really think of anything else that grabbed my attention up until the week that we're about to go into.
Okay. Jeremy, if Ed were to reference the Boot Scoot Boogie or anything like that, would you be privy as to what that would be?
The Boot Scoot Boogie.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Oh, man. All right. I listened to almost everything that I mentioned. All right. I listened to the Alter Bridge, and it's the same as usual for me. I mean, at this point, they're just releasing the same album over and over again. There's maybe one song, as you said, Jeremy, that first song is really cool. And everything else just sounds like a watered down version of that to me. There's one or two songs that go into my Alter Bridge playlist. And even by putting that on shuffle, similar to what you said, I get a few songs in and I'm done. They're really nice guys. But it's just, you know, I wish they would do something different at this point. What else kind of stood out to me? The Lionheart album, Valley of Death 2. That's a more new metal-ish type album. So if you're into that, that's something you may want to check out. The Bullet album is exactly what you said. I was listening to that. And I'm like, this is Udo or Mark Starace fronting AC/DC. It's exactly.
You know, I remember that too, guys. Now that you're sparking my memory, I remember that same thing. Some guy that sounded so much like Udo.
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but my album of the week is Beyond the Black, Break the Silence. And this is a band that historically, they're a symphonic metal band, which isn't something that I tend to like. When they stray from that, it's usually more of a Eurovision type metal thing. But they've done something a little different on this album, where they've added some more heavier elements to some of the songs. They've added some proggier things to the songs. So it kind of stood out to me. There's like three or four songs that I actually enjoyed off of the album. So that's why I'm going to go with it, because it caught me off guard. It wasn't what I expected from them. So it's going to be Beyond the Black for me. All right. So let's move on to January 16th. We had new albums from Kid Capici, Carry On Veil, Creator, David Boring, Grey Wind, Vessels, Viserion, Of Sulfur, Glucifer, Edenbridge, and Sowen. EPs from Antisapien and The Eternal, reissues from Demons, My Friends, Gazillionaire, Paul Di'Anno's Warhorse, Warning, and a live album from Death Cult, who is essentially The Cult, just recording their earlier material live. All right, Ed, this week finally, finally does it for you. So, Ed, let us have it.
Well, first of all, I kind of want to go last on this one in case one of you all pick.
Okay, all right.
But I can give an alternate in case you all pick the other one that I would
pick. Okay, all right, fine. Jeremy, go ahead.
I got two very good picks.
That's okay, because I've only got one. for this week, and it's Creator Crushers of the World. So you may want to talk about that later as well. Obviously, it's their 16th studio album, the German Thrashers, and we all know they're not inventing the wheel on these kind of albums now. It's definitely what I'd call a thrash comfort blanket, very familiar themes, the riffs. But to its credit, I would say that they do have a bit of a melodic edge to their music now, which sort of distinguishes them from what, you know, was sort of, I would say, was a less polished and almost slightly amateurish start. So, you know, it's got more polished in that respect. And I would say also, you know, check out these songs and compare them to the Testament album, because I think it stands up very well against a band like Testament. And I think that, you know, they don't get as much publicity over this music that they're releasing compared to, you know, a band like Testament. So, yeah, for me, that was definitely album of the week. It was kind of the only one that I listened to, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I think that they may not be held in the same esteem as Testament. Probably, I would say two reasons. One is because they came a little after Testament. Like, Testament was like the second wave of thrash. Huh. And Creator was more of, I mean, obviously the first wave of European thrash, probably. But it was like the third wave of thrash that became popular. So by that time, you are, you know, in that same wave, you had Sacred Reich, you had Sepultura, you had other bands that became really big. Also, Creator did something else. Creator experimented a lot in the 90s, early 2000s. So they've got albums where they're adding electronic elements, where they're doing like new metal-y type stuff, where they're really down-tuned and stuff like that. So that is also kind of, you know, maybe pushed people away also. I mean, I don't know that there's another European thrash band, though, that's bigger than them. I mean, just off the top of my head, I don't, you know, is there, when you think of thrash that comes out of out of any place of Europe, is there any other band that you think before Creator? Like, for as much as Sodom and Destruction and all these other bands are there, I think Creator is kind of at the forefront.
Yeah, they're king of the hill over there.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. So, all right. So I listened to the Kid Capici, which I've liked their first two albums. They've had two members of the band leave. So there is a noticeable difference with the music. This album is maybe a little bit more rock oriented. There's less like samples and less maybe experimenting on this album than others in the past. It's got some cool stuff on it. I have to sit with it a little more, to be honest. But it's not a bad album. The Creator, I liked a lot. I think the Creator album is probably their most solid album beginning to end in a really long time. There's some really good stuff on there. What else did I listen to? I listened to the Sowin album. I don't like it as much as their previous album. Like, their previous album really jumped out at me. There were tracks that they were releasing before the album came out. And this one, the first single that they released was okay, but it just didn't grab me. For me, my album of the week, and Sean Richmond has already mentioned it in the chat, is Glucifer's Same Drug, New High. Glucifer's a band out of Sweden, which had gone away for a really long time. They've just gotten back together again and put out this album. And this was a band that in the early 2000s, a lot of people talked about them. Lars Ulrich talked about them. A lot of big name people saying, oh, these guys are going to be like them and Backyard Babies. And there was this whole Scandinavian rock movement, Helicopters, stuff like that. And people were saying how they were going to be one of the next big things. And all of these bands kind of all went away. And they've all sort of started coming back little by little. This album is really good. It's energetic. It's exciting. There are songs with catchy hooks. There's a lot to like off of it. This is an album that I'm going to be listening to a lot. And I posted one single on Patreon, which I really enjoyed. And I really like, there's song after song after this, off of this, that I listened to. And I'm like, wow, I like that one. I like this one. So it's definitely something to check out. If you're into the Hives, for example, I mean, obviously this isn't straight up metal. This is more rock. This is the kind of rock that I like. You know, when people talk about, oh, well, you know, rock to me is Born in the USA, Bruce Springsteen. That's cool and all. But this is what I look for. Something that kind of kicks you in the ass, something that makes you want to move, something that gets you going. It isn't exactly AC/DC. It isn't exactly, you know, over the top metal either. It's somewhere in between, like the Hives is. It's a little rock, it's a little hard rock. So that's my recommendation.
All right.
Ed, go ahead.
And since Jeremy picked Creator, I'm not going to pick that one, but I agree with everything that he said. I was very well pleased with this album. I wasn't a big fan of the last one. For some reason, the songs and the production, just nothing hooked into me listening to that last record. So wasn't sure what to expect with this one, but was pleasantly surprised. I feel like the songwriting was a lot more creative. You feel that way, Jeremy? About that Creator?
I feel definitely.
He was, I don't know, it's almost like he spent more time with these songs than he did on the last record, making them more interesting.
He's also got new people in the band. So what I thought also is if he's getting new input with
One of the songs even had like a female guest vocal on it. So anyway, every song that I kept listening to single wise, I was really enjoying. So one night I sat down and listened to the whole thing, and I favorited four or five tunes that I thought were really good. And like Jeremy said, I feel like there's some melodies in there that you may not have heard before. So just overall, it was good enough to just sit down and listen to start to end. With good songs placed throughout the record. But since he chose that one, I'm going to take you around the world today, beginning in Romania. Okay. There's a death metal band called Cadaveral. You know, I'll spell that for you for your list. So it's C-A-D-A-V-R-U-L. Cadaveral.
Spell that again. C-A-D-A-V.
Yep. R-U-L.
R-U-L. They've got an album called Necrotic Savagery. And as you can tell from that title, they're kind of like a gore death metal band. And I really have been enjoying this record because it's got a kind of an old school sound. It's got a nice production. You know, like in the car, I can get some volume that I like out of my death metal. But it also kind of sounds like you're hanging out in the garage listening to these guys play. It's, you know, it sounds like something that was made back in like the early 90s. It's got some hardcore influences to it. So it's got a mix of kind of extreme death and hardcore sounds. And one of the things that I found more interesting about this band to tell all my death metal friends about out there are the vocals. So you know how in bands, a lot of deathcore bands like Black Dahlia, how they'll switch back and forth between a death vocal and a black metal style vocal. Right. So you'll kind of have a guttural sound and then this witchy sound, and they go back and forth. This band has both those kinds of vocals. They have this, you know, the main vocal is a guttural death metal, but they also have that other witchy sounding black metal vocal. But instead of going back and forth, they mirror them together. Now, he doesn't do that the entire time, But there are songs where there's a lot of verses and choruses where they're both of those vocals are going together. And it's, I like that better than the going back and forth. Because to me, adding that black metal vocal on top of it, you know, layering the two together is kind of adds to the intensity to the vocal a bit and kind of just adds a little more hardcore feeling to the death metal song as it is. So I'm having a lot of fun with that record. So Creator was a great pick. And then that's going to be my pick of the week to give you something different.
All right. Cool. All right, so moving on to January 23rd, we had new albums from Gavial, Death Dealer, Crystal Lake, Textures, New Miserable Experience, Coronautus, The Damned, Helix, Megadeth, Poppy, Ritual, Arcana, Rotting Christ, Sky Valley Mistress, an EP from Pelican. And yeah, that's it for the 23rd. So Sean, you mentioned Sky Valley Mistress. You mentioned that twice. Okay, cool. He's saying, check out the Too Many Ghosts video on YouTube. Excellent. So I'll post that on Patreon. I've actually got videos posted out all the way up to early March. So I may squeeze that in, give you three videos someday. But yeah, Sean, a lot of times the dates vary depending on the source where you find the information. Sometimes it was supposed to come out a certain week, then it's pushed back and some sites don't even bother changing that. But anyway, Jeremy, go ahead. What did you listen to this week?
Yeah, I listened to a few this week. I listened to Death Dealer, Reign of Steel. This is album number 4 for the band, as you know, former Manowar members. It's kind of more of the same. It's a mix of kind of traditional metal. It's a bit of power metal. There's some little bit of thrash elements in there, little parts in there that sounds a little bit like KK's Priest. So it's, you know, there's nothing new. There's nothing fancy, but it's kind of, you know, it's good metal. It sounds pretty good. There's some quite nifty guitar work on there. So it's, you know, it's quite an enjoyable listen. And it's something that I might go back to and listen to again. I also listened to Helix, or maybe you say Helix. I don't know. Helix, scrap metal. What's that?
Yeah, we say Helix as well.
Okay, Helix, that's good. So yeah, it's kind of, as you know, it's kind of sort of blue collar standard rock, you know, from the Canadian band. They've been around the block. I mean, we kind of remember these guys from when we were teenagers. I don't think I listened to them much, but I remember the name. And I don't think, you know, they were ever really sort of front stage for me at all. But, you know, they rock, you know, they do a bit like the Rods. You know, you listen to a Rods album now and it's kind of blue collar. It's kind of pub metal, pub rock. And I guess this does the same sort of stuff. Probably wouldn't be one that I'll listen to again and again, but you know, hey, they're filling a little niche there and they're doing something, and you know, good luck to them. And then of course the third album of the week is my album of the week, and it's obviously Megadeth. So I won't say what I think of it just now. I think we'll have a little joint discussion about it.
Okay. Ed, you want me to go, or you want to go?
No, is that the week we're on? We're on the 19th through the 23rd?
23rd, yeah.
Okay. So what do you want to do now?
You want to go, or you want me to go?
So this is the week of Megadeth, right? So we're gonna have to nerd out on this one for a little bit. So, yeah, go ahead. Let me hear your thoughts on it.
Okay, hold on. I was able to listen to the Gavial album called Thanks. I hate it. This was a mix of psychedelic, stoner, and blues, all mixed into one. I listened to the Death Dealer album. Shout out to Ross the Boss, who's just been diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, which is terrible.
Yeah.
Textures with Genotype. I listened to that a long time ago because I was supposed to have an interview with their keyboard player, which never materialized. I thought the album was pretty cool. It was heavier than what I expected. Listen to the Poppy Empty Hands album, which was good, was in line with what Poppy has done in the past. And I listened to the Megadeth album. So, Ed, is there anything else you want to talk about before discussing the Megadeth?
Just that I enjoyed some of that, The Damned. I thought that was sounding good. This kind, when it gets around to the holidays and winter, I get in the mood a lot for, you know, some of those older rock and new wave bands and tunes, and that kind of fit right into the kind of things I've been listening to. And I've listened to Poppy, I think, for the first time. And really, it reminded me a lot of to some of the like chaotic metalcore bands that I've heard throughout the years, like Norma Jean, and he used to be called Ludacris, and they changed their name to Norma Jean, and Chariot, and a lot of those bands. Just kind of like a real cleaned up modern day version of that, with of course the female vocal, and I think she adds some more character, of course, I think. Mm-hmm. Too. But yeah, Megadeth, of course, that's on top this week, I think, for everybody.
Yes.
Hmm.
So I have nothing bad to say about it. I like it a whole lot better than 72 Seasons. I don't quite like it better than The Sick, The Dying, and The Dead. And, you know, it's funny. I kind of knew I was going to end up feeling that way the day it came out, and I started hearing how much all of you guys were loving it.
Right.
Because remember, you all weren't talking about the last album as excitedly as I was.
Yeah.
And so when I heard how excited the whole group of you guys were, I started thinking, yeah, this might end up being more of a heavy metal record than a thrash metal. And I think this was it's a really good, even awesome heavy metal / speed metal record with some dashes of thrash.
Okay.
I really hear a lot of just classic speed metal in this record, and I like it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that's helping me enjoy it. There's, you know, if what you're just wanting is a thrash metal record, you'll be disappointed. And I think that's why I hear a lot of negative comments about the record, like on TikTok, coming from a lot of metalheads. But I still enjoyed it a lot. What do you all think about what I just said there about the record?
I think you're right in many, many respects. I think, that, yeah, it's that there's not a huge amount of thrash on it. It is more of a sort of standard metal album, you know, a little bit speed and standard metal. And I think that they've done that recently on probably the last three or four albums, maybe the last three albums. So I think they've moved away, you know, he's moved away and he's done some more commercial stuff on at least the last couple of albums. And I agree with you also that The Sick, The Dying, The Dead is probably a slightly better album for me, because I've now listened to this, you know, in its entirety. I've listened to it a few times. Okay. And I really like it. There's nothing wrong with it. And I think also it's a little bit almost like The Scorpions when they did their last album. It's a little bit of a pop potpourri of, you know, of all the stuff going back, because he's kind of fitting in stories about the various things, you know, the shred and the how he got into music and various things that are happening to him. And so it's kind of like he's rounding things off. So it's one of those kind of albums. There's lots of different songs on there, and it's a bit like the previous album. But I think The Sick, The Dying, The Dead had a little bit more edge to it. Just a little bit more edge.
Yeah. This album was more in that Countdown to Extinction, Euthanasia. But I think this album has a production that if like Countdown had had this kind of production, I might have been more hooked into those older records. But yeah, and all these songs too are very well written. He's got some nice melodies, you know, just listening to them sometimes, just jamming on those riffs, and they're being creative with the riffs. They're not just basic heavy metal riffs. They're doing things to keep them interesting. They got, you know, groove, they got jug and melodies in all the right places. And when I'm talking about like that speed metal sound, I'm hearing a lot of that, you know, the years before thrash metal with Raven and Motorhead and Judas Priest and Accept. Man, there was one song on here that as soon as it starts, it makes you think of Judas Priest right away. It sounded like Judas Priest from the early 80s. And then it goes right into a riff that sounds like Accept, like off of Restless and Wild. I've got it all in my notes here and I'm forgetting what song it was. And then also like that song Let There Be Shred, that sounded totally Metallica to me. It sounded like Metallica covering a Budgie song. And of course, you had a couple of good thrashers like Tipping Point. One thing that I bugged me a little bit about Tipping Point, you know, at the very end, they do this little like 2 second thrash bit and then the song ends. And man, that's like my favorite part of the song. And I wish I was hoping that was the intro to the next song the first time I heard it and that they continued with that one. But yeah, going along, you got a lot of kind of basic heavy metal songs, but I'm enjoying them. And when I'm in the mood for more of a, you know, heavy metal, classic heavy metal, which I get into, I'm enjoying this. What about you, Victor? What do you think about?
I mentioned it the last time. I think it's my favorite album by the band since United Abominations. And I love my thrash metal, but there's just something about this album that speaks to me more than some of the previous few. It's definitely my album of the week. I've bought 2 copies of this already. I mentioned that last time. It's far beyond what I expected from the band. Better than 72 Seasons. I have to go back and listen to 72 Seasons because I haven't listened to that in a while to kind of refresh my memory. But Sean Richmond is asking what our favorite track is off of the album. Ed, what's your favorite track off of this album?
I've really been enjoying Obey the Call, which is right before I Am War, which now I Am War is the one that said it has that Judas Priest and Accept sound. Obey the Call, though, actually that song started off slow and I was a little disappointed thinking, oh, we've got another slow tune. But right in the middle of the song, he gives us a good thrasher to end the song. And the riffs in that part of the song are some of my favorite Megadeth song riffs I've ever heard. That was what I was jamming on the stereo when you guys joined the video.
Right.
I was playing that part of the song. Because it was so good. So, yeah, check out Obey the Call. It's got another thing about this record, too, and Obey the Call is one of them, and Hey God is another one. There's some earworms on this record for me. For some reason, Hey God keeps getting stuck in my brain. I'm not, like, particularly love that song, but there's something about, you know, I think both the lyrics and just the way the song goes that I keep getting that stuck in my brain. Obey the Call has something where he's kind of trying to sing some kind of melody that is easy to get stuck in your head. But anyway, yeah, check out Obey the Call. And you know what? I listened to all 9 songs and was excited that we had a whole album with no Dave talking parts.
That's true.
The last song began. And but, you know, actually, it wasn't as bad as it usually is for me. What he had to say on that last song, he did a talking bit at the beginning and at the end. I don't know if I cared much for that acoustic guitar solo. I mean, it's kind of like maybe cool to listen to once, but if I'm going to listen to it over and over again, I'm not so sure how much I like that. But the message of that song was really cool. And also, have you any of you heard that hidden track that's supposed to be on the Target CD?
I listened to it on YouTube. Yeah.
No.
Do you know if that was a thrash metal tune or not? Or was it another one in the heavy metal?
I would say it's more of a heavy metal song.
Yeah. So that would mean that Made to Kill was probably the last speed metal, thrash metal song that he's given us. And then Obey the Call has like a 1 minute thrash section that's a really cool bit. But yeah, most of it's kind of like a Countdown to Extinction record with a really great production. The only thing I do wish, if I had a negative comment, where it would be that I wish that the rhythm guitars were pushed up a little more in the mix. I've noticed, you know, because I put my headphones on and sit down with the guitar, that I had to like adjust my volume a little bit differently because the guitars aren't quite as loud as they were on the last few records. But it's still really well produced.
Jeremy, what's your favorite track off?
Yeah, just to echo what Ed said, the production is amazing on it. I mean, I'm sort of torn between the first track because it just kind of opens up nicely with Tipping Point, and also the last track, The Last Note, because it's the sentiments of the song. You know, for me, it's all about the lyrics and about what he's trying to portray. It's the last song on the last album that Megadeth have ever done. So, you know, I can't really I can't dismiss that one. I think that for me is going to be, you know, in my head, and I'll always remember it. So, yeah.
Okay. For me, it's a song I don't care, because for me,
it's
playing on the track. there's just something about metal with, instead of the drummer, instead of playing the ride or the hi-hat where he's going along on the floor, Tom. I've always loved that. Charlie Benante does that a lot as well. There's just that, and there's just something about Dave's voice in that song that I really like. And I know that people have come out and said, well, it's a dumb song because he really does care, because all these years he's cared about what Metallica said about him and this and that. And I'm like, fuck it. I like the attitude of the song. I like what he's saying. You know, it's perfect. It's, you know, so what? Let people talk. I'm going to be me. So that's my favorite song. But I'm sure that will change, because any great album like this that has so much good material, you get tired of listening to one song and you move on to another. So,
and real quickly, what did you guys think of the Ride the Lightning cover?
I could have done without it. I mean, I like the music to it, but I wasn't so keen on the vocal, like, just because I'm used to the Metallica sound. So, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, he did it because he wanted to do it. That's fine. I don't have to listen to it a lot if I don't want to. And, you know, I'm not that keen on covers anyway by big bands. So I just think it could have done without it, but I see why he did it.
Yeah. You know, like Maiden covering Cross-Eyed Mary. I like it. I have no problem with his voice. It's Dave being Dave. I like the fact that, yes, they've detuned for this, but they're pretty faithful to the original outside of that. Like, Dirk's playing is like Lars is playing perfect, you know. I know that some people have said that, where it's kind of eerie how perfect he is with his playing, but it's a classic song. It's a song that so many people have grown up with listening to it. And other people have pointed out that it's weird that they've bitched about Kirk playing his solos note for note on the first album, and now Dave is playing Kirk solo note for note on this album. So, there's a lot of different interesting things. Out of all the songs that he was involved in, because he's saying that he wrote some of the riffs. He's not, I don't remember if he's credited or not on the original.
I think he is.
He is? Okay. I think it's neat because to me, for everyone that loves Master of Puppets, to me, this, and Master of Puppets is a great song and album, but to me, Ride the Lightning, there's just something to this album. It's got a mystique. It's got a sound to it. There's just something to, every time you hear that, that chord at the beginning, how they start the song off where it almost, well, no, I've heard plenty of bootlegs of Metallica playing it where they're completely out of tune when they start the song, because it sounds like a dissonant note at the beginning where it sounds like it's a little off, but it really isn't. So I think it's cool that he went for it. I don't mind the singing. I like what they've done. I think it's a cool cherry on top. And once I get my hand on the CD this summer, I'll pass that missing song on to you guys. How about that? Cool. So let's move on to the 30th of January, the final week of January. So we had a lot of releases here. We had albums from Profane Eulogy, I guess is how you pronounce that, The Hirsch Effect, Shields, Francis Rossi of Status Quo fame, Mull, Kosuke Hashida, Exapertis, I don't know how you pronounce that, Shine, Raven Fire, Lone Wanderer, Red Sands, Our Mirage, Jagged City, Urn, Red Vox, Buzzcocks, Lord Elephant, Stabbing, live albums from Therion, and reissues from Alice in Chains and Quicksilver, and a compilation from the Macaulay Shanker Group, Bad Boys, the Macaulay Shanker Group, 87 through 92. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'm happy to go first. I mean, I've only got one. So for me, it was Urn, Setting Fire to the Sky. The band I really had very little knowledge of before. I think I probably have heard something by them, but you know, they've been active for a decade now, as you probably know. I didn't realize that they hailed from London as well. I could have sworn they were probably a Scandinavian band, but no, they're British. Heavy sort of modern metal sound, as you know, you would know if you've listened to it. Lots of other influences in there, a mix of the growly and the clear vocals. The added bonus for me on this is the mix. I really like it. I think you can pick out a lot of what's being played all individually, including the drumming. I think the drumming comes across. And I'm, as Victor knows, I'm not a drummer. I very rarely say about the drumming on albums, but I really liked it on this. It doesn't get lost in sort of an overly polished production. The songwriting is good on it. It's not really my bag. You know, it's not in my ballpark, but it's something that I've moved over to and think, hey, you know, I can get into this, and something I could probably play again. So yeah, the only thing I listen to, but it's definitely going to be pick of my week, is Urn.
Cool. Ed?
So I have six things, so I'm just going to go quickly through the first like four. So for all you thrash metal heads, from Germany, we have Teutonic Slaughter. They have an album called Cheap Food, and it's just straight up thrash metal, every song, the entire record. The next thing is back to the U.S. That's just good old classic brutal death metal for you death metal fans. A band called Stabbing. They have a new record called Eon of Obscenity. Mm-hmm. So just another good old death metal band if anybody wants. I also enjoyed this kind of black gaze, shoegaze band from Denmark. They have an album called Dream Crush, and the name of the band, you may have to help me, they spell it M0L. And so I'm not too sure how to pronounce that.
Yeah, I pronounced it as mole. That's a letter in their alphabet, and I don't know how that would be pronounced either. But so I just went for it with mole.
I thought the songwriting on that's very good, very creative. You know, songs like that, they either hook you in quickly or lose you quickly. And I've enjoyed pretty much every song I've heard on that record. Just something different for everybody. But the my top three that I really want to talk about. So I was going to choose Urn before Jeremy picked that. And so that was a great pick. You know, I listened to that last Urn record a couple of years ago. That was one of my top 10 of the year, 2024. They're described as a sludge metal band. And but they're very heavy. You can tell they cross over into some, you know, just classic heavy metal sounds added on top of that, I think, which is why I ended up liking it so much. And this record still has that very heavy sound, but to me, it seems like they've gotten much more creative with their songs. I haven't had time to go back and just listen to the old one to compare it, but I find that these songs are very creative. It's like they're a sludge metal band, but they have many layers of other genres of metal that they're adding to it. And so with almost every song, there's something interesting in there that you'll end up enjoying. So even if it's a tune that it's not catching you at first, if you listen to it for a minute, there'll be something that they add to the song, or they'll go in another direction. And everything that I've heard on that entire record has been great so far. So great pick, Jeremy. There's a band in Brazil called Death Razor. They've got an album called Forged in Hatred, and they're a thrash metal band. And they at first made me kind of think of Noisium. You may have heard me talk about them before. They're a band from a few years ago that kind of had a possessed type thrash metal sound. And this band, Death Razor, reminds me kind of a them, but the more I listen to them, the more they actually remind me of some old school Creator. So if you're a fan of like mid to late 80s Creator, you should check this band out. You'll really like, if you like any of that Sodom, Destruction, or Creator in their early days, check this band out. You'll really like it. And I think the band that I'm going to be my pick of the week is from Poland. Tech death metal band called Banisher. Okay. And they have an album called Metamorphosis.
Okay.
And I sent you a track of that. And to me, they're labeled as a tech death metal band. But the first song that I heard, which is the one that I sent you, actually sounded like a nu metal song to me, or something kind of in the vein of Slipknot.
Right.
When I listen to their songs, I keep hearing Slipknot sounds or other kind of nu metal sounds from bands of the past. And that one song that I sent you in particular, when it gets to the chorus, man, they have this incredible sounding, heavy, juggy tone. It almost sounds like they went to the local music store and rented every single amp in the building, took it to the studio and put them all around the walls. And when you get to the chorus, you get this incredibly heavy, juggy sound that'll make your hair stand up on your arms. It sounded so cool that's why I sent it to you. But looking into this band, it seems like they've in the past have been more of a straight up kind of tech death metal band. And I'm wondering if they're kind of experimenting on this record. Anyway, I think that's the one I enjoyed the most. So that'll be my pick of the week.
Okay. And what was the name of that band again?
Vanisher. With a B. Vanisher.
Yeah. And it was Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis.
Hmm. All right.
Just pulled it up. It's got a great album cover as well, which yeah. we should mention covers because it's great to have artwork as well.
Yeah. So we went to Romania, Germany, Poland, Brazil, Denmark, and the US and the UK.
It is all over the place. So the world
of metal.
So I listened to a bunch of different things. I listened to the Mall album, which I thought was pretty cool. The Dream Crush as well. Listened to Lone Wanderer. I don't even know how you pronounce the name of that album. I'm not even going to try it. That was okay. That was it was death metal, which for me at times is okay. It just seemed kind of samey throughout. Listened to the new Buzzcocks album. Attitude Adjustment was okay. Listened to Lord Elephant, Ultrasound. That is instrumental. Instrumental doom metal, basically. There was a Alice in Chains reissue. Obviously, I've listened to that a ton. I've listened to what I'm assuming is a lot of that Macaulay Shanker reissue. But I'm going to coincide with Jeremy. I really like this Urn album. There were a lot of surprise hooks in there, surprising in that, you know, what I know from them in the past. I think this is the first time that they've mixed so much melody within their music. And in the PR release, it talks about how they've consciously evolved their sound to try to go other places where they haven't in the past. They're a three-piece out of London, as Jeremy mentioned. And Urn's Setting Fire to the Sky is my album of the week. So
I'm also becoming really impressed with the guitar player in that band when I listen to his solos. He's quite the shredder. Right.
Yeah, the whole thing. It kind of reminded me of like a heavier version of Mastodon. In the sense with how intricate a lot of the songs are and just the mixing of the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So let's see here. Let's just start out with, the 9th of January where Jeremy went with the Terror Garden EP. I went with Beyond the Black and Break the Silence. The week of the 16th, Jeremy went with Creator and Crushers of the World. Ed went with Cat of Rule. Is that how you pronounce that? Cat of Rule, Necrotic Savagery. And that was Ed's album of the week. I went with Glucifer, Same Drug, New High. On the 23rd, we all went with Megadeth with their self-titled number one album. Dave was finally able to get his number one album that he always wanted. So I thought that was interesting. And then for the last week, which is the 30th of January, Ed went with Banisher and Metamorphosis. And Jeremy and I went with Urn and Setting Fire to the Sky. The chat was very active today. I do want to thank Sean Richmond and Edgar Winterson for all of your comments and all the various vagrants who are in and out of the chat with some of their scamming comments. Want to thank them as well for driving up my viewer points there on the various platforms. Want to thank Jeremy and Ed, obviously, for joining me as usual. These episodes are always a lot of fun. And look at that. Over an hour worth of content. And it flew by as if it was 5 minutes. So Thank you guys for making this fun and making it a great episode as usual. I've got homework. I've got songs that are albums that I want to check out. And there's one thing that Anthony Mackie brought up that I'm looking into, which is the possibility of doing a playlist where we add songs from the albums that we pick so that people can keep up with them. So that's something that we may end up doing. I got to look further into how we can make a branded playlist up with the Signals from Mars brand on it. If not, it's just got to be a personal one, but we'll see. I just haven't had time to look into it yet. Hopefully in the next few days. But anyway, thanks everyone for checking this episode out. The audio version will be out this Tuesday. There will be a video interview that I conducted with Kat from Hoaxed. Hopefully you guys enjoy at least her part of the interview, which you can hear perfectly. Mine kind of comes and goes. It kind of sucks, but is what it is. There's worse shit out there on the internet. So anyway, on that note, thank you guys once again for joining us here, and we'll see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.